life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on, by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance, or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678 and put the life back in life insurance.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties. But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past five programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
Shop local, buy local, save big.
Hi, I'm Jenny, the manager over at your Big Deals online store. Did you know that when you shop locally, 83 cents of that dollar stays in town? Local businesses are the lifeblood of our community, and that's why you should shop your Big Deals online store. Dozens of gift certificates to local businesses, all in one convenient place. And best of all, they never expire.
Just click on the Big Deals tab at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Barlow's getting ready to bring something new to Clinton County that has never been done before. Local news, information, and maybe a little entertainment for the Latino community in Frankfort. Hi, I'm Monica. Join me and Wailo Program Director Kevin Keith for Ahora Clinton County, or Clinton County Now. The show will be delivered live and in Spanglish so everyone can follow along. Our first show will be Wednesday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. and then each and every Wednesday, always at 7. Tell your amigos and friends to make plans to tune in to 1570 AM or 96.9 FM. Or you can also stream online at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com for the station that truly cares about the entire community. Wailo.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. Many thanks to George Gilbert for being here the first half hour. Now we're going to bring on James Byers, the head football coach of Frankfort. James, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, you know, I've been better.
I know. So, but where did things go off the rails last night a little bit for you?
You know, we struggled adjusting to their team speed defensively. They're a really great defensive unit. And we just had too many self-inflicted wounds. We jumped off sides. We didn't line up right. We had a couple plays that we could have had in the backfield, and we didn't run our feet through the tackle. You know, it's what we've been preaching all year. It's what we've been focusing all year, and it's what we'll continue to focus on. Is we got to get better at the details. We got to focus on the process of getting better every day.
Let's look at it from the injury standpoint. Did you come out healthy in that way?
We did, yeah. Everybody's healthy, and
that's good.
And so that was a plus. And you know, our attention's on Southmont now.
Yeah, Southmont's no fluke right now. They look like they're pretty good. They're 3-0. They shut out Seeker last night, 13-0. So
yeah,
it's not gonna be an easy game.
No, huh? They're a good team. They got some really good skill guys. Their quarterback's back. He's really good at running the triple. You know, they're big up front. They're really aggressive defensively. We watched some of their film already this morning, and so that's our focus is getting ready. And we got to make the drive down to Southmont this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing on turf for the first time this year, so we got to adjust to that because it's always a little hotter on the turf. Than it is on good old fashioned natural grass.
What is the main difference playing from grass to turf for you guys?
You know, as a player, I didn't really ever play on turf except for in the state championship game. It's hotter because that the rubber pellets hold in the heat a lot better. So it might be 74 outside, but it's 85 on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to treat it like it's a hot weather game rather than like, oh, hey, it's a nice fall game. And we got to be ready for that heat on the field. And we got to be ready to execute our assignments properly. Because you got to play great assignment football to stop the option.
Yeah, was that the main thing last night? You just didn't execute and do the things, you know, the assignment football type things that you need to do?
Yeah, I mean, we played these guys in press man, and we got the guys in the back end to run with a lot of people, I think. We got some really good athletes in the back end, and, you know, a misstep here, not getting the hand on the hip the right way, allowed for that little bit of separation. And their quarterback threw some great, great balls. I mean, they had one late in the game. You know, Sam had tremendous coverage, and that quarterback threw a great pass, and their receiver went up and high-pointed it, and Sam played the ball perfectly, and there's no defense for a perfect ball and a perfect catch, and they execute their passing game really well. I think it's a little unfortunate that they were still throwing the ball deep up 55. I mean, that's not something that we would ever do. That's not something that Coach Sharp up at Jimtown ever coached us to do. So there's definitely some sportsmanship that was lacking on the other sideline. But I was really proud of the way our guys handled it. They fought every snap. They played hard every second. They never hung their heads. They never started chirping at each other. Our guys played together as a team. They believed in each other through the whole process. And you know, this is only week three. You know, we still got 7 weeks guaranteed to us. And so we got to take this as a learning moment and get better and move on to next week.
You've got Southmont this week, which is a winnable game. Then you have Lebanon at home, which right now appears to be a winnable game also. So that, you know, depends on how you play. If you can eliminate some mistakes, you've got to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, Lebanon, Coach Mock does a tremendous job down there. And you know, they're sitting at 0-3, and they've lost to the 3A runner-up and the 5A runner-up. Like, mm-hmm. They've played some dudes to start the season, and you know, I know they'll be ready for that game. I know Southmont will be well coached. They run their triple with precision, and they got a really aggressive defense, and we got to be prepared to play our best ball this week. And that's the only thing that we're focused on right now. Our entire attention is on Southmont.
You know, and the thing is, we've talked about this a whole lot of times. This league has got no easy outs, do they?
No, yeah. The Sagamore is it's week in and week out. It's a grind. There's no off week. And so we gotta be prepared to play. We gotta be prepared to play our best football, our most focused football, every Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Anybody have an outstanding statistical night for you?
You know, offensively, we got going a little bit late in the game. Obviously, some of their JV guys were in. You know, there's starting varsity wide receivers were in all the way up to the fourth quarter. I thought Sam Michael did a great job. You know, played every snap at quarterback and played some running back, played some wide receiver, played press man all day against their best wide receiver. Returned kicks for us, like. You know, he was all over the field last night, and same with Riley Goodnight. Like, he played running back, he played fullback, he played defensive end. You know, we got a lot of guys going both ways. Ethan Cook, Brenton Wood, Vlad Carreras. Like, they really the entire unit, the entire varsity team played their butts off all night. I mean, it's unfortunate that we came up short and that we made some mental errors, but I was really proud of our guys for how they handled themselves in the midst of adversity, and then how they played together for four quarters.
And that's the thing you really gotta, you know, you gotta be hopeful for when a situation like last night breaks out. So,
right, yeah, I mean, we can come back this week and we'll work more on the technique. We'll work more on the details. But you can't coach heart, mm-hmm. and we got that. That's, you know, that's what we have. We got a lot of heart. We got a lot of guys who play hard for each other, and so we can build from that. You know what I mean? And sit at 2-1, we're all right. And
mm-hmm.
now heading into Southmont week, like, that's a big week for us. And you know, like I said, they're a good team.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got a pretty good team. We got to clean up some of those little technique things and play a little bit better next Friday.
Besides an overall team effort, what else would be behoove you to do next week to get a W?
You know, we got to execute well offensively. We're going to make a we're not going to make any wholesale changes. Like our offense has played pretty well the first 2 weeks, and we just got to keep getting better at the little things. Defensively, we got to continue to work on tackling, and you know, we talked about it as a staff. You know, this last week was the first week we had a padded practice since the first week of school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're kind of 2 weeks behind in terms of tackling development, because we've been in helmets so long because of the heat.
Yeah.
So that'll be nice to get another week of padded practices, another week of tackling drills, and things like that, to where we can really focus on, you know, hitting with our eyes up, seeing what we're hitting, running our feet through the tackles, and things like that, that you just got to rep constantly to perfection.
Okay. James, anything else you want to add or bring up before I let you go?
No. I mean, we just got done with film, and our guys are in good spirits, and they're focused on Southmont, and they're ready to get back to work and get going.
Okay, that sounds good. Hey, best of luck to you this week, and you know, we'll probably get you back on again next week. So,
sounds like a plan. Hopefully it's a little bit heavier call.
Yeah, well, at least that's my plans for right now. So, hey, you take care. Good luck to you this weekend. We'll talk to you later on. Okay.
Yep. Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care of yourself. Bye bye.
Yep, bye.
This is James Byers, the head coach over at Frankfort, after they got beat last night for the first time this year by a score of 61-14, playing Tri-West and knowing what they normally do. It's about what you know, not surprising to a certain extent. Other football scores from last night. Western Boone defeated Crawfordsville 49-6. Danville beat Lebanon 42-19. Southmont, we were talking, and went to 3-0 last night as they shut out Seeger by a score of 13-0. So we have, in the league right now, we have Tri-West at 3-0. Southmont's at 3-0, and you have 3 2-1 teams. That's Danville, Western Boone, and Frankfort. So, you know, both hot dogs are in good shape. They can just, you know, just get it going here and see. Let's see what happens. Over in the Hoosier Heartland last night, we know about Prairie's 41-0 victory over Central. Carroll had to go out of the league last night because the team they were scheduled to play couldn't play last night. That was Taylor. Then Carroll went out and beat Madison Grant by a score of 34-8. Eastern defeated Delphi 28-14, and Sheridan pounded Tri-Central on the road last night 40-6. So right now, Carroll is the only undefeated team in the Hoosier Heartland. They're 3-0. Well, Taylor's undefeated too, but they haven't played yet this year. They have not had a game in the first 3 weeks of the season, so that's why they're undefeated right now. Sheridan sitting at 2-1. They have victories over Clinton Central and last night's victory over Tri-Central. Eastern sits at 2-1, and Tri-Central is 2-1. That's what's going on in the Hoosier Heartland right now. Over in the Hoosier Conference last night, if I can separate my pages here the way I probably should have had them done to start with. Okay, West Lafayette defeated Western 69-19. That's not a fun score to think about. Central Catholic blanked Northwestern by a score of 42-0. Hamilton Heights went on the road to Rensselaer and won up there last night by a score of 26-21. Tipton pounded Twin Lakes 42-7. And kind of an expected in a game that they, because they had to play somebody else, Cass got shut out by Delta by a score of 41-0. So right now in the Hoosier Conference, Tipton's 3-0. They're at the top of the East. There's been no conference games played until this week. So this is just through the non-league part. Over on the west side, West Lafayette 3-0, and Central Catholic 2-1, Loth Rensselaer. Those are the, you know, Hamilton Heights is much better this year. They're also sitting at 2-1. Hoosier Crossroads, which has got Zionsville in, that's one reason why we cover them a little bit. However, Zionsville got beat for the first time last night. They lost 42-21 to Westfield. Brownsburg defeated Franklin Central 28-14. Fishers remains unbeaten, which is a little surprising from what they've been there in the past. They defeated Noblesville 16-13, and Hamilton Southeastern pounded Avon by a score of 40-13. So that league has got Fishers and Hamilton Southeastern tie at the top along with Brownsburg and Westfield. They're all 1-0. This last night was a conference opener for everybody. Fishers and Hamlin Southeastern are both 3-0. Let's see here. Brownsburg, Westfield, and Noblesville, along with Zionsville, are all sitting at 2-1. And coming up this week, Noblesville and Zionsville's got a big game over at Franklin Central. That's what's going on in that particular league. And one other thing I do want to get to here before I get too much further down the line, college football, one of my favorite times of the year for that. Last night, a big surprise over at Blacksburg, Virginia, as Virginia Tech got out to a 14-0 lead at halftime and wound up defeating 10th-ranked North Carolina 17-10. In a Big Ten game last night up at Evanston, Michigan State defeated the Wildcats by a score of 38-21. A couple other scores of note. Charlotte defeated Duke by a score of 31-28. It was Wake Forest over Old Dominion 42-10. Kansas, who's been a doormat for years in the Big 12, defeated South Dakota. Granted, it's another level down, but they beat them 17-14. Colorado defeated Northern Colorado 35-7. And San Diego State, South Dakota State defeated Colorado State. That's not a good thing for Colorado State. 42-23 last night. Noted games today. We have got several today. Purdue plays host to Oregon State. That's a 7 o'clock kickoff tonight on FS1. At noon on Fox, you've got Penn State playing at Wisconsin. Then on ESPN at noon, you've got Western Michigan at Michigan. BTN has Rutgers and Temple. That game is at Rutgers. That game starts at noon. Or you might be able to see Nebraska host Fordham at noon. Those are the noon starts today on TV. Then at 3:30, Big Ten-wise, big opener for Indiana is they're over at Iowa City to face the Hawkeyes. That game starts at 3:30. Maryland hosts West Virginia. That's a 3:30 kick on ESPN. At 4:30 today, a couple of interesting games of note, which could be related to some other things here around here in the area. Northern Iowa's at Iowa State. Iowa State's ranked 7th in the country. And also Louisiana is ranked 23rd. Is at Texas, who's ranked 21st. That game's at 4:30 also. Some other interesting games to note today. We've got top-ranked Alabama playing in Miami down south at 14th. Miami's ranked 14th. That's a 3:30 kickoff on ABC. Georgia and Clemson get together at 7:30 tonight on ABC. Also LSU and UCLA play at 8:30 on Fox tonight. UTSA is at Illinois tonight, 7:30 kickoff. That's on BTN. Tomorrow should be kind of a fun game down in Tallahassee as Notre Dame goes down to play Florida State. That's a 7:30 kickoff on ABC. And then on Monday, Labor Day, a big game. Should be kind of a shootout as Louisville is at Ole Miss. That should be a fun game to watch. Kickoff for that game is at 8:30. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the good driver discount.
So it's for good, but not great drivers.
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
Well, I was getting ready to bring something new to Clinton County that has never been done before. Local news, information, and maybe a little entertainment for the Latino community in Frankfort. Hi, I'm Monica. Join me and WILO Program Director Kevin Keith for Ahora Clinton County, or Clinton County Now. The show will be delivered live and in Spanglish so everyone can follow along. Our first show will be Wednesday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. and then each and every Wednesday, always at 7. Tell your amigos and friends to make plans to tune in to 1570 AM or 96.9 FM. Or you can also stream online at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com for the station that truly cares about the entire community. Wyla.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties. But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past 5 programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
Attention, Frankfurt. BFW Post 1110 has the budget to run one ad per day. So if you're listening, congratulations. It's like winning the lottery for your ears and your balls. Pool balls, that is. The VFW features a newly refelted regulation pool table. So chalk up and stop in and let's see your best Minnesota Fats impersonation. Call 654-7624 or stop into 309 North Main Street for more details. The next VFW ad will be playing tomorrow. See if you can find it. Bingo and raffle number 002767.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We were expecting a phone call from Purdue Athletic Director Mike Bobinski. He has yet to call us, so we're going to fill in with some other things until he hopefully does here very shortly. Major League Baseball results from last night. National League, Chicago defeated Pittsburgh by a score of 6-5. It was the Mets over Washington in 10 innings by a score of 6-2. Miami crushed Philadelphia last night 10-3. Cardinals did likewise to Milwaukee by a score of 15-4. Colorado defeated Atlanta up in Denver last night by a score of 4-3. And it was the Giants over the Dodgers in a big series out in PNC Park last night. That's not right either. I can't think of what the park's called in San Francisco. Anyway, San Francisco won 11 innings by a score of 3-2. American League from yesterday, it was the White Sox over Kansas City, losing to Kansas City, 7-2. Yankees defeated Baltimore 4-3. Yankees have been hot for quite a while. They can even win 11 innings last night. Yankees have been hot for quite a while, and they're going to be a factor come this season. Toronto won a free-scoring game against Oakland up in Toronto. They won that 11-10. Boston defeated Cleveland by a score of 8-5. I'll get to that one in a second. Tampa Bay defeated Minnesota 5-3. And I'm looking down here, the LA Angels defeated Texas by a score of 3-2. Okay, the interleague games from yesterday, there were three of them. Detroit pummeled Cincinnati over at Cincinnati last night, 15-5. It was Seattle downing Arizona in 10 innings by a score of 6-5. And then Houston defeated San Diego last night by a score of 6-3. Games today, the Cubs are at home against Pittsburgh. Start time at Wrigley is 2:20. Handful of games tonight at 7:10, which are of interest locally and to the networks as well. The White Sox are in Kansas City at 7:10. Detroit visits Cincinnati tonight at 7:10. The game on ESPN Plus tonight at 7:10 finds the Cardinals playing at Milwaukee. So that's really where things are sitting for that one right now. I need to get over to a couple of different stacks here, and I've got it right here in front of me. It seems like the Football Alliance thing will not just die real quick. So, and it seems like things are going to be getting a little bit crazier, but especially after yesterday's announcement that BYU, Houston, UCF at Central Florida, and Cincinnati are planning to submit applications this coming week to join the Big 12, sources confirmed to ESPN yesterday. The schools could be approved for admission as early as September 10th. That meeting, that's where the meeting of the Big 12 presidents will be happening, according to Sports Illustrated, which first reported the story. American Athletic Conference bylaws require schools to give a 27-month notice before they leave and pay a $10 million buyout fee. In that scenario, joining by the 2023 season would be a long shot. But an earlier exit and a higher buyout could be negotiated. The most realistic timeline, sources say, is 2024. Now, what's interesting in this is Houston, UCF, and Cincinnati are all members of the American Conference. BYU is out of the Mountain West. So the interesting thing I find out of all this is the team that I thought they might want to take out of this is Memphis. And Memphis still sits in the league kind of by themselves right now. But they're an above average football team. Their basketball is going to be fantastic this year as Penny Hardaway went out and recruited a whole bunch of good people. And they got those two big kids in the final week of the season. That's going to really help them come this year. So they could be a Final Four team, and that's kind of stretching things a little bit. We've been looking at this alignment for quite a little while, and I thought, well, let me just see if I can find something out here. But I did come across an article, which I think is very interesting. Is that it's looking back at the 50 years of college conference football alignment since people started leaving for them. When news broke out about Texas and Oklahoma were leaving the Big 12 for the SEC, it created a firestorm that the fans and administrators wondering what the domino effect would be. Will the SEC look to bring in more members? Will an arms race begin among the Power 5 leagues, and how will this shake out? Well, here are some of the top moves in college football over the last 50 years, starting back in 1971 when South Carolina elected to leave the ACC. You know, that was one of the first things. Remember, people forget that they were in the Atlantic Coast Conference for years. 1978, Arizona and Arizona State joined the Pac-8 at the time. That is now the Pac-12 because Colorado and Utah have gone into that league and made it a very interesting type of league. 1991, the Big East forms a football league. That's the original Big East on the East Coast. So that was a very interesting thing. You had to be a members. You know, they had Miami, they had Rutgers, Temple, Virginia Tech, and West Virginia as football-only members. Rutgers and West Virginia would join as full members in 1995. Notre Dame became a non-football member the same season. Virginia Tech voted to become a full member in 2000. But, you know, now it's just interesting to see how all that takes off. In 92, Florida State voted to join the ACC. That's been a very good move for them, and they've been very good in that league ever since. Seminoles went 53-8 in the previous five seasons and finished in the top five of the final Associated Press polls. That's until recently. They won their first 29 ACC games and their first 9 ACC championships and 11 of their first 12. Florida State has won all 3 of their national championships as members of the Atlantic Coast Conference and was the first cog to bring respectability to football in the league. So that was an interesting and probably one of the better moves that ever got made. 1996, Texas, Texas A&M, Baylor, Texas Tech. They all joined the quote Big Eight. They left the Southwest Conference, and now they went in to form the Big 12. So that's one of the things about the Big 12 that's been interesting along the way. They didn't, you know, that's just the way that's said. 2005, Boston College decided to join the ACC. They have stayed in that league and have been very good in the league. Not great, but they've been above average. So they went there. 2011, I have forgotten that the Big Ten, I knew the Big Ten had stuck some teams in there, but I forgot when they were. Nebraska joined the Big Ten in 2011, 25 years after the Big Ten shook up college athletics by adding Penn State. The conference did it again, prying Nebraska from the Big 12 and creating a 12-team Big Ten. This allowed the league to split into two divisions, the Infants Leaders and Legends Division. Before coming to their senses and going by geography in 2014 and hold a conference championship game. At the time, Nebraska was an amazing get. The Cornhuskers were dominant under Bob Devaney and Tom Osborne in the 70s and through the 90s, winning 5 national championships and many Big 8 and Big 12 titles. In fact, the Huskers were coming off 2 10-win seasons under Bo Pelini, and when they entered the Big 10, it hasn't stayed that way, however, as the program has struggled with the identity since switching leagues. Nebraska struggled in recent season, hasn't been to a Big Ten title game since 2012, in which they lost 70-31. They're not much better this year after losing to Illinois last week, and they got Fordham today. They did get enough tickets, believe it or not, to have that game sold out in Lincoln today. So we'll see if that should be an automatic W for them. 2012, Texas A&M and Missouri decided to join the SEC. Big 12 is in trouble. Colorado and Nebraska left for the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, respectively. Texas burned the Pac-12 and was launching its Longhorn Network, which was seen by fellow conference members as a huge advantage for the Horns that were giving to have recruiting and financial status. Texas A&M was greatly turned off by Texas. It was rumored the Longhorn Network would show high school games of Longhorn recruits and were outwardly flirting with the SEC about wanting to join them. While the SEC wasn't pinning to expand an already stout league, adding a team from the Lone Star State, which is an offer they really couldn't refuse, publicly it seemed like a done deal, but they were expected lawsuits and hard feelings attached themselves to move this thing. So that's that situation. Also in 2012, West Virginia and TCU decided to join the Big 12. West Virginia has always been the oddball because they're sitting on the East Coast, and they're in the Big 12 in both football and basketball, and they always have long road trips, and that just makes it seems stupid in my mind why they're over there, not in the ACC. 2013, Syracuse, Pittsburgh, and Notre Dame joined the ACC. Nearly a decade after the ACC and Big East clashed over expansion, the two leagues were at odds again, but this one felt very different. In 2011, both Syracuse and Pittsburgh applied for admission to the ACC. The league immediately accepted, which put the Big East on life support. Syracuse is ready to join the ACC in 2004, but politics are the league's side, and pleading on the university side kept that from happening then. Now the ACC expanded its geographic footprint in the Northeast and added the New York and Western Pennsylvania markets, and a decade-long raid of the Big East was ready to break up the league, and more on that a little bit later. But in a year later, Notre Dame informed the Big East that it was going to leave for the ACC as well, that they did not stay there very long, though, so that's the way that went. Also in 2013, the end of the Big East and the start of the AAC, which we have talked about. The AAC began their raid of the Big East in the mid-2000s. The Big East countered by adding Cincinnati, Louisville, and South Florida as members, as well as DePaul and Marquette as non-football members, and UConn's young football team, Temple, was kicked out. The league grew to a 16-team behemoth in basketball and a subpar product in football. When Syracuse, Pittsburgh, Notre Dame, and eventually Louisville announced they were leaving the ACC, it began a spiraling effect of trying to keep the football league alive. Their invites to TCU, Boise State, San Diego State, and Navy to join as football league members only, and UCF, SMU, Houston, Memphis, and Temple again as full members. As other schools like Rutgers and West Virginia left the league, the Big East pulled in Tulane and East Carolina. So in 2014, Maryland and Rutgers joined the Big Ten. And 2025, as of now, it's out Oklahoma and Texas have joined the Southeastern Conference. So it should be very interesting to see how this plays out. So it's just been, I thought that was very interesting what's happened over the 50 years. We've had a nice little thing here in college football. So that's going to wrap it up for the show. We're not going to try and wait. Of course, Mike's got a football game tonight. As Purdue is hosting Oregon State. Kickoff tonight over at Ross H Stadium will be 7 o'clock. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. Thanks to our two guests we did have. We're George Gilbert, head football coach at Clinton Central, along with James Byers, the head football coach at Frankfort. So that's going to wrap it up, as we said, for this week. Thanks to our guests. Thanks to our sponsor, the State Farm Insurance Agent, Susan Casper. So join us next week for another Inside the Huddle. So until then, this is Ken Hartman. Take care and so long.